The Minister for Indigenous Australians is Ken White. He joined me earlier. Ken White, welcome to AM. How significant is today?
Look, I think it's a significant point in the history of this country in terms of the traditional owners of Uluru having their say and having their wishes respected. Even though many Australians have disagreed with them, it is a sacred site.
Have you been surprised by the numbers of people rushing to the rock to climb it?
See, I've been disappointed. I understand there are people who want about to put it on their bucket list. It would be equivalent to having a rush of people climbing over the Australian War Memorial, if I can be so brazen in that regard, because our sacred objects, community by community, are absolutely important in the story and the history of that nation of people.
Late yesterday, respected academic Marcia Langton used social media to say a curse will fall on them all. She'd seen pictures of lots of people climbing the rock. She went on to say they will remember how they defiled this sacred place until they die, and history will record their contempt for Aboriginal culture. What do you think about that sentiment?
Marcia expresses often strong sentiments about elements of social justice, but the way in which disrespect occurs, and that's what has angered her. I wouldn't want to curse anybody, nor leave them with negative elements of life. It's just reflect back on what you've done and reflect back on the fact that you've disrespected a community of traditional owners who've always wanted the right to have a say about what is sacred to them.
Traditional owners in other places, like the Grampians, are wanting to protect sites and have banned climbing with ropes. That ban was introduced without warning, and negotiations there have stalled. For nearly 5 months, climbers say that they haven't been able to talk with the three registered Aboriginal parties about it, and the climbers are asking for your intervention, saying that parks and state ministers have botched this. Will you consider intervening?
Actually, I haven't had that request at all. Generally on land issues that are particular to states and territories, we allow state and territory ministers to deal with it. Then if they ask for our involvement, then it's either myself or Minister Lee, predominantly Minister Lee, because she has that responsibility within her portfolio and I have the cultural responsibility. So both of us would be involved if we're invited.
Do you worry, though, if talks haven't gone anywhere in 5 months?
I think sometimes some of these elements take longer than people want. There's certainly evidence of some of the ancient artworks being damaged. I get a sense there's been some disrespectful behaviour that has not pleased the traditional owners. There needs to be respect on both sides.
Yeah. Climbers also dispute assertions that they've damaged anything. They say that we don't want to damage culture and we don't want to damage the environment.
Well, if that's their position and they get the opportunity to negotiate that with the traditional owners, then that's the pathway that should be first taken. And government interventions of a different nature can occur in different ways.
To Indigenous recognition, you've flagged developments next week. Have you and the Prime Minister agreed on the next steps?
The Prime Minister and I are often in frequent discussions. I just wanted to take him through the stages that we now have in mind. So it's consistent with what he and I clearly understand, but a way in which it involves our people across the nation.
When will you share that information?
It'll be either Tuesday or Wednesday.
Roy R.C., the chairman of the Prime Minister's Indigenous Advisory Council, has accused the government of not listening to Indigenous Australians earlier this week. He was critical of you, saying that a voice to Parliament recognised in the Constitution is the only meaningful form of recognition. Have you spoken with him?
No, I haven't. I want to go back to a point that people seem to have forgotten. In May, the Prime Minister made it very clear there would be no voice in the Constitution. Now, we need to work within those parameters and look at the best options. And it doesn't matter how much people jump up and down. The Prime Minister and our government have taken a position, and therefore we need to operate within those parameters.
Roy R.C. and two other Indigenous leaders wrote that letter, Megan Davis and Pat Anderson. They were crucial from the Uluru Voice of the Heart statement. If you can't get agreement on that or talk with them about that, isn't this whole process dead?
No, it's not, because there are many communities that have not been involved in this. I accept that there were 1,300 people involved. I'm not saying that the expectations of them is wrong. It's a matter of involving a structure that will reflect local community voices, regional voices, and national voices.
You're in Adelaide today to address the International Council on Archives Conference. How much is archiving part of the process of truth-telling?
Well, actually, they hold records and accounts of points in time that are absolutely critical in the way that we reflect back on those events that have happened, both those that were damaging, but equally where records show that significant gains were made. The walk-off of Wave Hill, there will be records that are detailed around those events that we can go back and reflect on. So it is important to truth-telling, and archivists have incredible state, Commonwealth and Territory records within their collections, and that includes state and territory reference libraries.
Minister, thanks for talking to AM this morning.
My pleasure, Sabra.
The Minister for Indigenous Australians, Ken Wyatt.